Would ask you to stand when you get your Bible to that place, please. But in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, I'm going to read a few verses for you. Take a real simple thought here this evening. But the setting for this is God has created the earth, the things that are therein. His completion is create. His creation is perfect. Everything is in order as it would be. And he's about to identify something else that's recognized as needed. And beginning in the 15th verse of the second chapter of Genesis, it's written, "And the Lord took the man, and he put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden that thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And we're going to take our thought from the 18th verse, immediately following that as it's recorded. It says, "And the Lord said, It is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him and help, help meet for him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be here with Bible Way Church this evening. God, I pray that you'll just, just give us clarity of mind and speech as we bring forward this very simple message. Lord, let it be an encouragement. Let it be a challenge. God, help us to rise up to be the people that you've called us to be, that you've enabled us to be, Lord. Only you know our true potential. And God, I just pray that you'll just open, Lord, the windows of heaven this evening. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. You might be seated. And I want to talk about three things this evening: our faith, our family, and our fellowship. When we get to these verses, we see that God has looked at everything he's created, and Brother Gary, it is perfect. It is beyond that. It is awesome. We cannot begin with our limitations in our mind to think about the world that God had put together. Now, I'm a creationist. I believe that God created the earth in 6 days. I know that makes people's heads roll and their eyes spin these days. But if I can't believe that about the power of God, why would I be able to believe the other great things that he's done that are recorded over the last 6,000 years? And we see that God had finished the work that he had in mind. He had created man, as it were, in his own image. And God looked upon man, and he saw that there was a need in his life. God looked upon him, and he said, "It is not good that man should be alone. And I'm going to make a companion for him. I'm going to produce a way that he might have a company and have a companion." And I look at this, and I look at three things this evening. First of all, I think the need that we have for our faith and the relationship it helps us to have with God himself. We live in a world around us today that greatly discounts faith until something goes wrong. Somebody say amen there. Most of the people I deal with in the different ministries, whether it's whatever ministry it is, outside of the immediate church, Brother Vinoy, I usually get the phone call when something terrible has happened to someone, and they want me to come and talk to them about their faith. Now, I'm always good to do that. That is never a problem, Brother Don, because, in fact, sometimes that's the only time that people are listening, is when their world is broken. I had a situation, it's been within the last month or so, and I got a phone call, and it was a very difficult situation, and they called me and they said, "Hey, can you come for the family and can you speak to this person?" I said, "Sure," and they said, "Could you come immediately because of the circumstances," which I did. And Brother Vinoy, when I came, they had me put on all kinds of gear, very protective type stuff, and it wasn't uncomfortable for me at all. But when I went in, I was not able to talk to the person who was actually ill. I ended up speaking to their family. And what did we talk about? We talked about the love for God. Brother Don, we talked about the testimony they had, the witness they have. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know what your situation is in life. All of us are very different in many ways. But we should have in our life a testimony of faith, a testimony of faithfulness, a testimony of loving God. The Bible tells us here that Adam, who was created in God's image, who was intended to exist in this place of harmony, this place of perfection that God had created, was alone. Now, the first thing that God did was he revealed to Adam, and we see it in his word, the relationship that Adam had with God. It was very personal. And I'm going to tell you that our relationship, our faith, our testimony, our salvation must be personal. I do get uncomfortable sometimes when we used to be able to go out and we'd visit with people and knock on doors and what have you. And you know, do you know the Lord? And very often, Brother Vinoy, the answer was, I go to this place. Well, those are two different answers. You understand that? I know where the bank is, but I don't have a room, you know, in the bank, right? I mean, it's not the right answer to say, you know, do you live at the bank? No. We must have a faith in our life that aligns with God's Word. We cannot reinvent God's Word. No more than Adam could escape the consequences of the sin that he brought into his life and the curse he brought upon each one of us through his willful act of sin. We are responsible for having a relationship with God that lines up with his Word, that is submissible to his will, that brings forward the intentions that he has for each one of our life. And I appreciate all that's done here. We said we had 90 here this morning. Brother Vinoy, you said we were about 30 short. When Brother Jimmy stuck his head in the door, I said, it feels like 42 in here. We actually had 15. We would have closed that gap. But I'm telling you, I appreciate what this church does in Sunday school, in missionaries, in the work that's done with the youth, in the work that's done with the quilting ministry and what have you, to help people see that they need to have a relationship with God that transcends just being at church. Adam had that. The Bible tells us that God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and that they knew each other and that we see what God can do in the person's life. And yet today we live in a world where many people have chosen to be spiritually alone, spiritually turning away from God until that point in their life where there's some disaster, some breakage, and that could be different things for different people. A lot of times it is health-related, or it's finance-related, or it's a marriage is in trouble, or something went wrong at work, and everything's just coming apart. And that's not the right time, Brother Vinoy, to call upon God. You know, we ought to call upon him. He's always available to us when things are perfect, not just when things are broken. But I'm glad that he hears us in all circumstances. God has been so good to us. And when we look in the Scriptures, we see that God intended for us to have eternal life through our faith, that we might know him, that we might have peace, that we might have comfort, that we might have joy. I was walking with Cindy the other day, and one of the things I've enjoyed since I changed the type of work I do is she'll get me out, and we'll go for lunch. And when I say go for lunch, we'll walk around the neighborhood. And I was talking about what a blessing that Bible Way has been the time that we've been here. And I talked about the great things that have been done for my family, which I really appreciate. And I don't think Cindy would mind that one of the greatest things is that she found personal peace with God through her own testimony, her own faith. Each one of us ought to go back to that place. Brother Wayne, Brother Junior, Brother Gary, Brother Ralph, you've talked so many times about the place where we came to a point of surrender. And we said, God, you're right, I'm wrong. God, you're the Savior, and I'm the one that needs salvation. And I know it's old-fashioned, but we need more of that in the world around us today. I get the opportunity to preach in small churches and to go different places. And last Wednesday night, we were with a church, and Brother Vinoy, the pastor, was a bit embarrassed. They had four people that were there. And I told them, as crazy as this sounds, I believe that the church, the body of Christ, is actually getting stronger. It may not be getting bigger, but people living in faith are realizing what a great God we have and that he is the one that can deliver. And just as he delivered Moses from the hands of the Egyptian army, and just as he delivered David from Goliath, he really has delivered us from this pestilence that could have been so much worse over the last 2 years. Do you realize that 2 years ago, it was Brother Vinoy and myself and Jim and Richard and Brother Rose came, and we had some singers that came. So thankful for all that. But we weren't having these services 2 years ago. God has delivered us. And just as he can make a way, he can save all of those that would come and call upon his holy name. He wants each one of us to have eternal life. He wants us to possess and to be able to share that message that Jesus, the beloved Son of God, has come, and that through his death upon the cross of Calvary, we might have eternal life, that we might have life eternal, and we might share that message. Our faith transcends the things that we can see here on this earth. And he also wants us to have abundant life. I have walked through the last 12, 13 years, seen so many times in my own life, in the life of Cindy and myself and our children, where God has just stepped in and shown us that we are not spiritually alone. You know, you've heard the story about the young man who was flying the kite, and it was so far up into the clouds that all you could see was the string going up, and a passerby walked by and said, "Hey, I see you're flying a kite. How do you know what it's doing up there? How do you know it's still up there?" And he said, "Every once in a while, I feel a tug on the string." Are you like that? You ever read God's Word, and it just tugs at your heart? It shows you that we are not spiritually alone. You ever go to Him in prayer, and God just blesses you, and something just comes over you, and you just feel the goodness of God like rain coming down upon you? He shows us that we're not spiritually alone. You ever get the opportunity, and even though you might be scared, and your hands are shaking, and your knees are shaking, to share the gospel with someone, and whether they accept the message at that point or just listen politely, God blesses you for that, and it shows us that we are not spiritually alone. So I would tell you that here in the Garden of Eden, God had demonstrated Himself to Adam and had showed them that in the circumstances that were created, God was there with Adam, and his faith was not alone. Second thing I would tell you is the value of family. You know, this is one that is a real concern to me these days, because the family is massively under attack. And you know, and it's kind of funny, right? I mean, the institutions that we would think would be fostering our children and looking after our children, that's not always the case. And I'm so thankful for those that have faith and love our children and love our society and who are just wonderful people and wonderful people that love God. But I'm telling you, we live in a world around us today where Satan would like to see every home that is here absolutely destroyed. We would not ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have figured out that your best way to have a conversation with your spouse and your family on the way to church is don't have it? We'll wait until we're going home before we open that can of worms, right? And I see the smiles out here because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Satan will take a grain of sand and make it look like a 1,200-pound boulder in your life. And yet, we think about the great gift that God has given each one of us, the gift of family. Amen? The gift of family. You think about this situation in the book of Genesis, God had gotten everything right. I mean, there was no defect, there was no limitation anywhere along the line. And God said, you know, there's still one thing that Adam needs, and his gift to Adam was a wife, a companion. It was his Eve, as it were. And I'm going to tell you today that as we look at some of the things that God has given us, we need to be thankful for our family. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I had a birthday, and it was a significant birthday. I used to only think that turtles lived to be 60, and now I am one, you know, a turtle, that is, I guess, and also 60. And as I look back, Brother Vinoy, I sat down, and, you know, my office is separated from the house, and I get a lot of quiet time up there, what have you. And I thought about 60 or six decades. And I really did. I thought about the goodness that God had given me to get that far. And, you know, hey, I told my son, I said, I don't think I'm getting another 60. So I've enjoyed the last, and we'll see what we get here going forward. And I began to look, Brother Vinoy, at the things that God had done for me. And I can tell you, looking back at my own life, of course, my mom, she went to heaven a few years ago. And I thought about the early days. And my mom and I were basically abandoned, you know, by my dad. My mom, my grandmother, my one uncle had a tremendous influence in my life. And I thought about how God had blessed me with the family I necessarily didn't have. He had replaced all that, and he'd replaced it in a spectacular way. The value that we need to place on our spouse, on our children, on our parents cannot be underestimated. Brother Michael, you know, I'm looking at your son. I mean, man, he's shooting up like a rocket, right? He won't be little for long. You give him a few years, he'll be as big as mine sitting back there. And my daughter came in from going to campus the other day, and, you know, and she's beautiful. And I'm like, you know, what are you doing going to campus like that? Can't you just, like, wear a hat, you know? I don't know, put some butt on your face or something. You know, do you have to go? But listen, I look at what God has given us, Cindy and myself, and Cindy particularly, and I'm thankful. He's given me a wonderful family. And Brother Rick, and Brother Mike, and Brother Dole, and Brother Kenny, and Brother Rick, and Brother Gary, and Miss Reba. I could go all around this auditorium. God's been good to you. He's given you somebody to care for you, somebody to love you, somebody to be there, and just in that darkest day. What a blessing that is. And yet the world around us today greatly underestimates the value of that. I looked at some of the men who were great pillars of our faith in the Bible, and I thought about the value that they might have placed on family. You think about Noah. Noah was, I think in many ways, we'll find out one day, very prosperous. He was certainly very industrious. And Brother Vinoy, I don't know what he owned, but I can tell you what went into the ark with him that mattered. It was the things that God had put there, his sons and his daughter-in-laws. He placed a great value on family. I thought about Job and about how when Satan attacked him, Satan eventually, you know, destroyed his health. God restored it. Satan took away his wealth. Satan took away his prosperity, as it were. But Job missed his family, his children that were robbed from him. By the way, as I sit here looking out on these faces, I know there are people here today that Satan desires to rob your children from you. Maybe not under the circumstances of Job, but he wants to take that away from you. I think about Abraham, that friend of God who was such a witness and a testimony, almost standing literally, almost alone in a world around him when he stood for God. And what was the thing that Abraham desired? He desired that he might have an heir, that he might have a family, that he might have a son. And God allowed him to have children through other wives. Eventually, he had the child of his own. And we know the story, it was mentioned this morning, of even Abraham, the greatest sacrifice that God could ask of him was that he might sacrifice his own living son to fulfill the will of God. And of course, God stopped that. But what a family that he had and that he placed value on. David, the value he placed upon his children. And even Jesus himself, upon the cross of Calvary, looked down upon Mary, his beloved mother, and made provisions for her. You see that family is one of the things that we have to put such a great emphasis on. And yet the Bible tells us in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, but Jesus himself talked about the day that there would be division. In fact, Jesus said, "Do you think I've come to bring peace?" Paraphrasing, he said, "I'm going to bring division." He talks about the father being a son against the son and the son being against the father. And you begin to look at the scripture in the context of that and other passages in similar ways. And you can see that one of the great division points in families these days, those days as well, is the idea of righteousness. Righteousness. And I'm not talking about being self-righteous, but I'm telling you that there's a path that God approves of. And there's a path that God intends for us to walk upon. It's written in his word. It's written in our heart as led by the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest divisions that you're ever going to have in your family is when you stand for the things that God has called you and called each one of us to walk according to, and they see it differently. We had a man who spoke at Harmony Church Mission today again, Pastor Pat. First time I'd met him, and he just did a wonderful job with the message. But Brother Vinoy, he talked about his own life, and he talked about the days when he walked in sin, and he talked about the people that he had come in contact with who, in great love and care about him, had actually enabled him, enabled others to go forward. I'm a firm believer in a no-regrets type of life as much as we can. Now, why is that? Because, you know, I'm a guy who worries about stuff in the past that I can't change. I'm probably the only one like that here, I'm sure. Nobody else is like that. You know, nobody else gets up and they say, "Oh, man, I should have said that differently." Or, "Wow, if I had a chance, I would have done what I did 3 days ago differently if I would have just thought of this." Well, you can't undo the past. But I'm going to tell you, as we look towards the future, we have to be careful that we don't enable people that we care about, people in our family, to do the things that are displeasing to God. Amen? We don't intentionally want to be enablers. It is our responsibility. It is our opportunity. It is our privilege. It is our honor to look after our family. What a blessing that must have been to Adam when he woke from the sleep that God had put upon him. Then he found Eve. And not only was she beautiful and intelligent and those things such as he, but she was the completion of him. hey, we've got spouses that I hope for everybody, you know, that your wife, your husband just completes you. I hope that your children bring happiness and joy to your life. I really do. Now, none of us is perfect, and we know it's not always going to be that way, that there'll be days that are better and some days that are worse. But I'm going to tell you that God has seen to it that none of us should be physically or emotionally alone. He has given us this gift of family, and I am so thankful for it today. The third thing I'm going to call out, God has given us, it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he gave us faith, gave us a relationship to God. He gave us family. And the third thing I'm going to call out is the idea of fellowship. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Acts, the second chapter. And there's a great definition here, a great description of fellowship and what it looks like in the New Testament church. I hope this is the way that we're still doing things today, but we'll look at it and we'll say, you know, where do we line up with God's Word as it was? You see, God has a family. He has a group of believers, small as we may be out of the 7 billion people in the earth. There's a lot of people that believe in God, like faith, encouragers, people that understand God's Word, want to live that. And in the early days of the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, the second chapter, I want to read these last few verses beginning at verse 42. And I want you to keep this in mind. We'll begin at verse 41. Then they that received his word, the preaching of the gospel of the message of Lord Jesus Christ, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And let me stop here just for a second. Doctrine does matter. It does matter. The way that you read the Bible, the way you interpret it, the lens that you put on it, the way you apply it to your life. If it didn't matter, God wouldn't have given it to us. But it's always good to understand what God says about doctrine. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We're not spiritually alone. We're not physically. We're not emotionally alone. And we should not allow ourselves to be congregationally alone. So strange term. But you know, we live in a world around us today. In the last 2 years, a lot of people have made a choice about how much value that they place on congregational worship. Somebody there say amen. Now, I know that we have to adapt, and we're just coming off of a really smart decision to not have the Sunday school because of the close quarters and all that. I'm not alluding to that. But I'm telling you that there are people who have just decided that there is no value in traditional church fellowship, attendance, worship, what have you. And it is very problematic. You begin to look at this New Testament church, which God had his hand upon and the Holy Spirit was active in, the ministry they had, the witness they had to the area, you know, to the people that they came into contact with. And these people were truly placing value upon those that God had put around them. I think about that, and I think about it in my own life. Again, this was part of what I did 2 weeks ago as I looked back on people who had been very inspirational in my life. There were several that were godly preachers who brought the word, who just immersed themselves into the calling that God had placed upon them, and how they just poured out these rivers of blessings, of words and ideas and prayer and power that they just brought forward to the congregations that I was fortunate to be a part of. I thought about those who were the great teachers, those who got into God's Word. And even today I heard a man, and he was quite a bit younger than me, and he looked in the Word, and I thought, you know, I've read that, and I've been saved for 42 years. I have never seen those few verses just in that context. And I love to learn. I'm a learner. I hope that you are too. And we just finished the study of the 12 ordinary men. And I said, okay, what would we like to study next? And Martha said the 12 extraordinary women. And I thought, okay, I'm so far out of my comfort zone, I can't even see it here with a telescope. But we're going to learn the people who get into God's Word and who teach us. You were talking about the wilds, Brother Vinoy. We had the privilege to go there, a few of us, a couple of months ago. And wasn't it amazing to sit down, you know, and you're thinking, this guy uses the same verse over and over and over and over, and each time he uses it, you get something that's new out of it. I'm thankful for those that God has given us who have the gift to be able to preach and share and exhort God's Word and to teach. I'm so thankful for those and many in this congregation who have chosen the path to be mentors, to look around and say, you know, here's somebody that I can help. God puts that in my heart. He knits those together. This is David and Jonathan type of a situation, and you just have the ability to help them become the better version of what they can be. Those in the church who are our confidants. I know that even when I was not with Bible Way, when I was at a different church, there were people I was able to stay in contact with here who would sometimes call Brother Vinoy and say, hey, would you pray about this? Or what do you think about this? Isn't that a blessing? That's something that God wants us all to have. He wants us to know Him as our Savior, and He wants us to be so active in leading our families in those paths of righteousness, and He wants to make sure that we are a part of a healthy, living church that just exemplifies the Word of God. And those things are so available to us today. But I worry about those who choose to walk away from that. I do think that there's a danger. There's the potential for loss for those who choose not to attend church. Now, let me tell you this. Brother Vinoy had made the announcements. He was talking about circumstances. Hey, listen, it's dark outside. Some people don't drive well in the dark, and some people are getting closer to the point we shouldn't be driving in the dark all the time. There are reasons sometimes that people can't come back for a service, or they have a certain circumstance of life that prevents them from being here. Now, I understand that, not being in any way critical of that, but there are those who just don't care. They just don't come. And you may or may not like it, and it's okay, and I know we're doing the webcast thing. But listen, if your faith won't carry you to a place where you can worship in spirit and in truth the one who saved you, you need to check up on it. You just need to be real confident of what you've got. I think about those who choose not to attend church for other reasons. Sometimes people are hurt. I was a pastor for 9 years, and it was amazing to me the things that go wrong. And you all ought to pray for Brother Vinoy and Brother Don. You're the elder of both of us. The things that a pastor, does in the background are absolutely amazing. Sometimes people get hurt. Sometimes people hurt themselves, and they blame it on the church. There's a difference between those two. But I realize that sometimes, people, they just don't have it in their heart that usually, quite frankly, it has something to do with money. Amen? People get hurt because something was said that there was an accolade they thought they should have received or an acknowledgement. They didn't get that. I don't care what it is. We ought to all be able to find a place where we can worship God in spirit and in truth according to His Word, to line up with His Word. This is a wonderful church, and we have seating capacity available. There are other wonderful churches, different parts of the world and what have you, but people ought to fellowship and not be congregationally alone, as it were. I will say this, and I'll wrap up here in just a minute, but I think that some of the reason that people will not come back to a church, even though they may have perfect faith in God, they may have asked Him into their heart, is they're fearful of what they've done in their life, that their own sin's going to find them out. And sometimes, Brother Vinoy, they won't come back because they're embarrassed. They have done something that they really ought to just come before the church and come to the pastor and just acknowledge and clean the air, as it were. But listen, Satan doesn't care what it is that keeps you out of church. People say, well, I'd go to church, but my old truck smokes. Well, nobody cares if your truck smokes. You know, come and park in the driveway. In fact, you know, park where mine is, and you'll see the little puddle of oil that's right there underneath it, right? So some smoke and some just drip the oil. But I'm telling you that we ought not to let it be easy for Satan to keep us from the place that God has intended for us to be. Amen? There is a danger in separating yourself and thinking, I can make it on my own. It doesn't really work that way. 2020 was not a good year for us in many, many different ways. And I'm going to tell you in this idea of fellowship and family and faith that I went through a period beginning in February with Brother Roger Penix. And Brother Wayne, you and I and Cindy went to his funeral in North Carolina. And in about 6 months, I lost Brother Roger. He was the man who was just a great mentor to me. He ordained me into the ministry, and I had the privilege of working with him there. A few months later, I lost Jimmy. He was a man I worked for who had taken me and been very careful in helping me to learn to do a different type of job and opened a lot of doors for me, that type thing. A few more months went by, Brother Vinoy, and I lost my grandmother, Mid, and Miladine, and she had been so instrumental in raising me and been an inspiration of God in my life. And I know that we go through times like that. You all go through times like that too. You miss these people. But Brother Ralph, you're thankful for the days you had with them and for the interest that God placed in their heart that they would see that you were not alone. I'm going to tell you tonight, you talk about preaching to the choir. This is what the choir looks like, literally. And I know that probably everybody in here has a testimony of faith. But do we all have the same testimony of faith? Do we have that confidence within our hearts? And I'm not questioning you, but I'm telling you that you need to know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Every one of us has come to God, if we know him, in some different fashion. Brother Ralph, you talk about the days of your youth. And Brother Rick, you talk about the fact that you were a wonderful church member. And I don't doubt that for a second. But you did not have Christ in your heart. I know in my own life, my own testimony, 42 years ago, at this time of the year, I didn't write down the date, I wanted nothing to do with the church. You understand that my mom and dad, they made me go to church. I was 16 years old, 17 years old, didn't take. I was 18 years old. And God spoke to my heart and revealed to me that I was just absolutely unclean, not deserving of any of the grace and mercy that he had ever given to me. But Brother Wayne, he opened that door and convicted my soul when I heard his message that Jesus saves and that I could have eternal life and forgiveness of my sin and freedom from this debt that I had carried through what God had done for me upon the cross of Calvary. He saved me on that day. Very simple process. I called out to God, asked him to come into my heart. My heart opened. My tears, flowed. And I felt clean for the first time ever in my life at 18 years old. And if you've ever been there, you understand exactly what that is. This is preaching to the choir. But I would tell everybody in this congregation tonight, whether it's my own family, you know, whether it's someone that's a guest here, what have you, a visitor for the first time, you need to be able to go back to a place where you became spiritually connected to God. Not that you read about him or you heard a song or you memorized a verse, but where you called out that God came into your heart to forgive you of your sins. For those of us who have family, I would say we ought to raise our hands toward God and say thank you for the people that you've given us to care for. Our children, our spouse, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, whoever that is that God has placed in your life, that you could be the leader, that you could be that witness in their life to show them, particularly the young ones, the way to the cross, the way that they might have life eternal, the way that they might have life more abundantly. And to those of you who are here in this congregation of Bible Way Baptist Church, just like to say from Cindy and myself, we just love you guys. And you have been such an important part of our life. We've been married 37 years. We came to Bible Way not too long after we got married, so 35 years off and on. We were not here, you know, for some of the years when things were different, but, you know, we did have the years with Brother Jack and, And what a blessing that was. And see, we only knew two pastors here, Brother Vinoy. We knew Brother Jack, and we knew you, and you're a lot like Brother Jack. So it's been real easy for us to love you. It's real easy for us to love all of you. And I want you to remember that God has knit us together as a family. You could have been born in the Ukraine. You could have been born in South Africa. You could have been born in Asia someplace. But he allowed you to be here, to learn of this work that's being done here on this church, in this church on this hill, and to be a part of the family of God. And I'm going to tell you that God said, it is not good that man would be alone. He didn't intend for us to be alone in our faith. He didn't intend for us to be alone from our families. He did not intend for us to be outside of the fellowship, the loneliness that comes from being separated from the body of Christ. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, we just thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. God, just such a simple message, but it just reinforces, Lord, the perfection that you want to see in each one of our life. It's not us, Lord, that's perfect, but it's you. And you can knit all things together that we might have peace, that we might have joy, that we might be, satisfied and fulfilled, and Lord, that our contentment might be just exactly what you would have it to be. God, I pray a special prayer tonight that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, would you just reach out to that heart tonight and just show them how much you love them and how much, Lord, you have already paid the grace that you've given to them specifically that they might have forgiveness of their sins. I heard a man today, Lord, who'd been to prison for the things that he'd done. He talked about how late in life the Word of God came to be real for him. God, I thank you for the young ones particularly who come to know you before the circumstances of life become very dark and very, Lord, damaging. I pray, Lord, tonight if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, please just touch that heart. Let them respond and say, Jesus, I want exactly everything that you've offered to give me. And I'd like to have that gift now. These things, Lord, we ask in your blessed name. Amen.